And now I'm here with Sam Johnson, founder and CEO of Zen Booth. How you doing, Sam?
Good, thanks, Mark.
Good. Okay, now I joked earlier that I was going to tease you about this accent. Where are you originally from?
So I'm born in Brisbane, Australia.
Okay.
And I grew up in Canberra.
Okay, so how long have you been here in the U.S.?
5 years.
5 years, and you brought your entrepreneurial attitude, philosophies to California. Let's talk about what you're doing. What is Zen Booth?
So Zen Booth is a manufacturer of quiet spaces. So we make quiet spaces that can go in any office. Our leading product is the Zen Booth, and it's a modular phone booth. And we go all the way up to modular meeting rooms, and we ship them all over the country.
A modular phone booth. Let's talk about the usage of a modular phone booth. So where do I stick this phone booth? It's not outside, I assume. It must be inside my business?
Often inside. In a lot of open offices.
Okay.
So our primary customers are fast-growing companies. They run out of conference rooms. Their salespeople need to make calls. And
oh, interesting. Okay, so yeah. We were talking earlier about which salespeople. I mean, do you get one for each salesperson, or do you get one just for the top producer?
It depends on the company. Usually they'll be sharing them, but we have encountered some companies where someone will be in the phone booth for like the first 4 hours of their day.
Oh, wow.
Doing calls.
Are they on personal calls sometimes?
Personal calls.
Yeah, but people use it for like a break room or a break area to take to make calls, or is it more for making us more productive while we're at work?
So the leading example is a salesperson, but they're used for just any time a person needs privacy.
Okay.
Like probably a more unexpected example is even like pumping breast milk. Finding a private space to do that. So
okay, interesting.
It's very broad.
So you said fast-growing companies, and I think we think about those companies that have those big open areas, bullpens, call centers, maybe co-working spaces.
Mm-hmm.
Where is your client? What does your client look like?
Sure. So we've got a very diverse range of clients. So any company that's adopting the open office.
Okay.
Can be a client of ours. So we see a lot of customers in the tech area, kind of ranging from small startups to like companies like Samsung. Lyft is another big client of ours.
Okay. So it's big corporate end users.
Corporate, but also very small. As small as like 10 employees, and they've just moved into like an apartment-like office, and they're like, we need to make a call.
So how did you decide to sell these directly to these clients, directly to the end user versus through a reseller network?
Good question. So we're definitely doing it the hard way. A lot of furniture manufacturers, we manufacture, they just do the manufacturing and then they sell to dealers. But just the way the company started selling sketches locally, put up a website, and people were buying them online. And so we've only just started to sell through like third-party distributors and dealers. But the kind of bread and butter of the business is direct. That also keeps us very close to the customers.
Oh, yes, I can imagine. You really understand what the needs are. Talk to us, though, about those beginning stages of entrepreneurship. What made you decide to start this?
Sure.
And how did you decide to call it Zen Booth?
Sure. So in terms of starting it, it had kind of been brewing for about 4 years of working in open offices.
Okay, in Australia or here?
Both Australia and here. So, I worked in co-working spaces. I worked for a fast-growing tech company. I wrapped up the job with that company, and I was figuring out what next. And I actually tested a couple ideas. I actually tested a VR
virtual reality?
Rental idea. This was like 3 years ago. And that like had some interest. And then I put up a landing page for phone booths. And I saw I could get emails and interest from that. And then I sold like a sketch and figured out how to build it from then on.
So what's your background in terms of selling a sketch? What kind of technical background do you come from?
So completely unrelated background. So I studied commerce law and I was in
what kind of law?
Just law, just general law. And I was in tech out of university and then jumped into like furniture manufacturing in America.
So what did your parents think about that? Were they like, what are you doing?
I'd say my parents are definitely on like the very creative spectrum.
Okay.
And they've had, experiences in their in their life, where I'm sure their parents have been like, what are you doing? So they were very supportive.
They're proud of their boy. So now what do they say? Obviously, talk to us about how this business has scaled. It's no longer just a sketch anymore. Somehow you've decided to grow this thing. Walk us through that process.
Yeah, so I think it's it's been a long 3 years. Mm-hmm. Literally the first phone booths were made in a garage, then a cabinet shop. And now I've got a manufacturing facility out at Berkeley, where I've got about a 20-person team comprised of both manufacturing, sales, marketing, customer support, design as well.
That's very important. Yes. Are you still doing custom design and that kind of thing?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. There's still even though the phone booth has been around for more than half a century, there's a lot of potential to just innovate on how to make these things easy to ship, how to best support the work environment, like work surfaces, video integration, lighting, ventilation. There's a lot of refinement still there.
So you've built this business, it's already up to 20 employees in 3 years. Has it been easy, difficult? Talk to us about the ease of this process.
Right. So one of our themes the last quarter was trying to make things easier.
Okay.
The company is bootstrapped. So it was started literally with around $1,000. So we've had to kind of ride the waves of growth, capital investment, and there's been many kind of stressful moments.
Like what?
Like, you know, those moments where you spend $100,000 on a piece of equipment and then sales dips a little bit and, you know, you're like, those can be the more stressful moments.
I can imagine.
You know, hiring and firing, finding the right people. Where the company started is we had no in-house manufacturing management experience. So there were some challenging moments, you know, just...
So did you ever build some when people say, hey, I want to return this?
You know, we have an incredibly low return rate.
Okay.
Given kind of...
there's been a learning curve, right?
Given we'll be learning it on the way.
Yeah.
We have challenges with shipping and logistics. We're shipping 500 pounds across the company. Our top complaints are actually around service. So when the install goes wrong or when the carrier shows up at the wrong time.
Who typically installs them? Is that a complex process?
Good question. So we were the first company in this space to kind of provide a model that you could DIY install with a handyman. And that enabled us to quickly kind of get our product in different states around the country. But we now sell kind of a third-party install service where something like a TaskRabbit or a professional furniture installer will put a booth together in about an hour or so.
So I picture being in the middle of an office,
yes,
and you go into this room and it might feel like low ventilation. How does the air conditioning pipe in if it's a hot day?
Good question. So ventilation, also a big learning curve on that. You know, in the initial versions, we have the hot booth complaints where there wasn't quite enough air cycling, and we quickly upgraded the fans and made things right for those customers. Our current models, the air cycles through it about every minute. So there's enough kind of airflow going through there.
Are there upgrades like might be in a car where you have standard features and then there's certain upgrades?
Good question. So because of just the complexity of manufacturing, we've tried to keep it simple for the beginning. Mm-hmm. Even when we just split between doing a white color and a maple color, that was a challenge in itself, just, you know, ensuring the right color goes out. We do offer some options at the moment. The main option we're offering is our adjustable desk. So it's a little electronic adjustable desk.
Okay,
that provides
so you can sit down or stand up depending on what height you are. Okay.
Exactly.
That makes sense. All right, let's talk about the business though. So you're growing this business, you've got challenges, you're new to entrepreneurship in some ways. So I'm wondering, you're in Berkeley. And a lot of people would say, why Berkeley? And then now I understand you are outsourcing something to somebody in Sacramento, like your accounting.
Yes.
talk to us about, if Sacramento's so good, why aren't you guys located in Sacramento?
Good question. So I think part of it comes from the origin of the company. So we actually started in San Francisco. And okay. That's where I was living. That's where the customers were.
Okay.
When we were looking for a new location last year, didn't want to move more than an hour away from where I was before.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, I was a little anchored there, and East Bay was, you know, that was kind of a good compromise. Mm-hmm. That being said, for probably, we started with wooden doors on the product, and all those doors were made in Sacramento.
Interesting. So Sacramento, so you're using HaneyBiz Accounting Services, a little plug for my teammates. And, you know, so because the price of doing business in Sacramento is a little bit less, or maybe a lot less in some situations than what you see in the Bay Area, mm-hmm. Including manufacturing of doors. So you're running a manufacturing business that, is it scalable in Berkeley, or is it eventually going to need to move to a lower cost, you know, place to manufacture stuff, maybe even overseas?
Good question. So we do try to, I think we do try to do a lot of our manufacturing in California at the moment, because it's a heavy product. If we go overseas, we're just paying a lot in shipping, and it doesn't balance out with the labor cost or the story. In terms of the specific region, I'd say kind of in the next phase of the company, you know, we're open to relocating. However, the real strength in the company is around the potential to innovate. So that's the design and the R&D.
Okay.
And the bulk of our customers are in the Bay Area, so proximity there is important. But we do partner with, like, companies for components and things all around California.
So I can imagine that the growth that's happening in the Silicon Valley, San Francisco, and so on, and the amount of money that's sort of being dumped into those areas, they have the resources to buy things like cool phone booths and some of the space.
That's right. It's a resource thing. It's also a necessity thing because of the cost of real estate there. You know, they try to cram a lot more people in a smaller space.
Okay, let's get into the mind of the entrepreneur. How did you decide originally, because this is not your first venture, how did you decide originally that you wanted to be an entrepreneur, have your own venture? Is it in the genes, or is it did something prompt that?
Good question. So throughout university, I would say I was like a wantrepreneur.
Aha. Uh-huh.
You know those like idea guys who have a lot of ideas but aren't doing it because they're working a job?
Mm-hmm.
Or studying or something like that. Mm-hmm. I actually had the opportunity to spend 5 months in Thailand. That's a whole nother story for why I was in Thailand for 5 months.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some stuff that we can't talk about.
But teaching English. It was a little break in university. And it got flooded whilst I was there. It was one of the worst flooding of all time. And we got like evacuated by the army. And
I had
this kind of whole experience where I can remember like going out in the army trucks and seeing like people whose lives had been devastated, but they were smiling, they were coming back. And after kind of having that whole experience, realizing kind of how privileged I was and that like my life hadn't been subject to disasters and things like that, I actually started my first business, which was parallel importing Kindles into Australia. Whilst I was in Thailand, just before I went back to Australia, because I was like, I gotta make the most of kind of the opportunities I've been given and do something with these ideas.
Interesting. So your parents sounds like they're very they've raised somebody that really is allowed to dream and chase some stuff, because I think starting a business while in Thailand for 5 months that ships into Australia, that's creative.
Yeah, it was America to Australia. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the creative genes, I don't know.
Okay, so let's talk about what the future is of this business. What's the future of Zen Booth?
Good question. So we're in a more competitive environment now. You know, we were first to market with our product in the US, but we're now seeing more established manufacturers entering it, and so we need to stay ahead by innovating. Mm-hmm. Our vision is quiet spaces in every place.
Okay.
And that really guides us to, you know, how can we get these spaces is, you know, in
quiet
as many places.
Spaces in every place. So talk to me about where you're going into these co-working environments or open rooms. Where do you envision, when you say every space, what, give me a wider idea or a more specific idea of something I might not expect.
Yeah. So we're mostly focusing on workplaces at the moment.
Okay.
Our kind of most heartwarming example was There was a school in San Francisco who has, they do counseling for the kids, and they're working with kids with anxiety and the like. And the counseling providers, they're basically doing this in like a small office where other people can hear the conversations and the kids lock up. But they're more like locked up and closed up. And so we donated a booth to them because, you know, they're not really funded or anything. And the kids and the counselors love it because all of a sudden they have a private space to, you know, talk about their feelings and get some things out of their system, which ultimately will probably lead to a more creative opportunity in life for them if they can work through some of those things when they're younger.
Interesting. And then I can imagine when you make one placement in a, into a place like that, or even into a Google or what have you, is once they try it, now it's like we need a whole bunch more of this because it's obviously solving this this privacy problem that we face.
Yeah, people in some work environments, they're like their identity gets associated with it. We had one customer request that we make them a toy Zen booth because one of their staff just uses it so much and like they just live out of there.
So you're early to the market. So how big is the overall market? And I have to assume that at some point this will sort of take this type of product. You're an early mover on this. So this type of product could be almost everywhere.
Absolutely.
How important is your, are you the first, are you the largest now in this business or do you have competition?
We're the largest manufacturer in the US. There is a Finnish company called Framery that entered the market about more than 7 years ago. And they're like the kind of Lamborghini of phone booths.
Mm-hmm.
We see ourselves a bit more as like the Toyota.
Okay, a little kind more practically priced.
Practically for everyone, yeah.
Okay, so closing thoughts to the entrepreneurs that are out there. Maybe there's a few wantrepreneurs out there. I think there's a lot of those. and I respect the people who are dreaming of entrepreneurship because, I mean, a lot of us are wondering, what do I do to get into this game? And so maybe some advice to those that are thinking about, I want to jump in and I don't know where to begin.
Yeah. Like, as I hear you say that, I'm like, probably the overarching thing is create the space in your life so that you can overcome whatever's holding you back. You know, so if you need to create, like, I often say, like, just take a little bit of time off work. You know, that's where a lot of my ideas have emerged. And that's very challenging. But if you have the chance to do that, just create that space and then figure out what's holding you back by, like, just testing some things and figuring it out.
Create the space in your life. Sam Johnson, words of wisdom from the young founder and CEO of Zen Booth. Thanks for sharing your story today.
Thank you so much, Bob.
All right.